Jesus says, I gave my life so you can death, and then I rose to new life again so that you can know for certain that you will be with me forever, safe, happy, and alive. So wake up and follow me. Jesus says also, it said in the Bible, I think we've got this up. Have we? Yep. To those who win the victory and wake up, I will not take away their name from the book of life. I will say that they belong to me before my Father and before his angels. Yeah? He's talking about that book and he says, I want your name to be in there. So, wake up, church. That's what Jesus says to his church. And a good way to help us wake up, I'm going to ask you now to just step down off the stage because we've got a song that's going to wake us all up, okay? And a really good reason to wake up is because, when Jesus says it, it's because he's the king, okay? So the song we're going to sing is Jesus is the king of everything. He's the king of the jungle. We got some actions. So, are you ready for the actions? Who's the king of the jungle? Jesus is the king of the jungle. So who's the king of the jungle? We're going to go roar, because the lion is the king of the jungle. Then we go, who's the king of the sea? Bubble, wobble, wobble. Got that? Bubble, wobble, wobble. Then we got, who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? And then he goes, very importantly, I'll tell you, and we're going to go like this, J-E-S-U-S. And then what we're going to do is go, yes, he is the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle, and the sea, bubble, wobble. See how we go. We're going to sing through twice. All right, please stand, everyone. Let's go.
Wobble, wobble. Who's the king of the universe? Who's the king of me? I'll tell you. J-E-S-U-S. Yes, he's the king of me. He's the king of the universe. The jungle and the sea. Bubble, wobble, wobble. Who's the king of the jungle? Roar. Who's the king of the sea? Bubble, wobble, wobble. Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? I'll tell you. Yes, he's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea. Bubble, wobble, wobble, bubble, wobble, wobble, bubble, wobble, wobble, bubble, wobble, wobble.
King. He is the king. Now, this is an all-age service. I'm going to say something to the older ones here. And I want to start with this question. As a church, do we need to wake up? Oh, good. Jesus, in these letters to these seven churches in the book of Revelation, and we're back in our series now, he speaks directly to his church, speaks directly, really, to us. And so let us hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Be great to have this open, page 992 in the Bible, so that you can have a look at where we're going. This church in Sardis, it had a reputation for being alive. Verse 1, I know your deeds, you have a reputation of being alive. Stuff is being done there. There's activity. There's history. We're known for X and Y and Z. We're known for being a larger church. We're known for planting other churches. We're known for having a lovely building and a nice cafe. What are we known for? What's our reputation? Fill in the blank. We are known for. What do you reckon? Can have a think about that later on. I'd love to hear your answers to that. But as we read this letter to Sardis, one big idea emerges, and that is that our church's reputation with Jesus is the only reputation that counts. Right? Verse 1, I know your deeds. You have a reputation for being alive. Yeah, well, we could love to stop there, wouldn't we? but you are dead. Sardis actually has a life problem, not just a sleep problem. All that glitters is not gold. What appears to be living may actually be dead. So never mind sleepwalking. This is a zombie church. It's a zombie, according to Jesus. According to the one who, again, look at the passage, holds the seven spirits of God, or the sevenfold spirit, and the seven stars, which are the seven angels of the churches. So that's picture language. It's taking us back to chapter 1 of Revelation, to the great vision of Jesus at the start of the book of Revelation. And why does Jesus mention those aspects of the vision for Sardis? Sevenfold spirit and the seven stars in his hand. Well, because those are the things that Sardis needs in their situation. The sevenfold spirit is code for God, the Holy Spirit. The spirit of power, the spirit of life, the spirit of truth, the spirit of God. The seven stars, the representative angels to which these letters to the churches are each addressed, they're in Jesus' hand. And together, those two things speak of spiritual life and heavenly resources for the earthly church. Things Sardis is in desperate need of. And so they must listen. It's a wake-up call from Jesus to the church in Sardis, to a nearly dead church that has this reputation for being alive. Wake up then. Strengthen what remains. It's like the few remaining glowing embers in a dying fire. So I get up in the morning, and if I'm lucky, the fire's still going from the night before. You sort of open up the air thing and suddenly there's a few little glowy things. And I'm like, oh, great. There's something to work with. I haven't got to start from totally scratch again. I can just get some paper. I can put a little bit of kindling on there. And then I'm blowing it and taking in a mouthful of ash and whatever. And there's smoke coming out. But I'm blowing. Try and get that thing going. Strengthen what is remaining there. It's a bit of work. What will get the fire going for Sardis? How does Sardis strengthen what remains? How do they wake up? What does waking up look like? Verse 3, remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold on to it. Hold it fast and repent. Remember and repent. The word repent just means turn. Turn away from going away from God. Turn back to God. Do a 180. Do a U-turn. They had received, what did they receive? They'd received the good news about Jesus. That's how they'd come to be a church. The good news about Jesus that fires us all, if we've received it, to do the works, good works of the kingdom for the sake of Jesus. So Jesus says, remember that. Remember what you received. Remember the grace of God to me and to you. We deserve ultimate eternal punishment. But we're given ultimate eternal relationship with God, because Jesus gave himself on the cross for us. Allow that to catch fire in your life. Allow that again to catch fire in your church. Allow Jesus to blow on the dying embers of that flame and blow those things into flame. His breath, the Hebrew word ruach, the Greek word pneuma, breath, a translated spirit. The Spirit of God is the breath of God. You see how this works? The Spirit is what is needed to bring life. But where there's coldness, where there's sleepiness, where there's dying spiritual heat, well, we know something's terribly wrong, don't we, if that's the case. We know we've left behind somehow the good news of Jesus. We're not beholding his grace anymore. We know perhaps we've set our eyes on some other thing other than the gospel, other than Jesus as the shaper of our lives, or we're not seeing the gospel for what it actually is. We've lost sight of it. We kind of stored it away. We know it's there. Don't have to look at it much. I've got it. But it doesn't move me anymore. It's not infusing my mind. Something else has got in the way. Perhaps many things have got in the way. We're now over-invested in the world, in our lives and the things that are around us. We're unwilling then to serve others. We're serving ourselves first. Certainly not Jesus. He no longer has that place in our lives. We focus on any ways our own felt needs are not being met. All of these things, we've turned inwards and we've taken our eyes off of Jesus. And Jesus says to a church in that situation, which may or may not be us as well, repent. Turn to him. Fix joyfully your eyes. Our theme, Jesus. It's what we've been telling the kids and holiday kids over there. Back to our theme verse. Never giving up, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Lovingly, joyfully laying down our lives for Jesus and the gospel and for others. When we remember God's grace to us, everything changes, doesn't it? If we forget God's grace to us, everything goes cold, doesn't it? Verse 3, if you do not wake up, Jesus says to this church in Sardis, I will come like a thief and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Those words are definitely a warning. But they would have absolutely triggered the people of Sardis. Sardis, in its geography, meant that it was an almost impregnable fortress. Okay, it was a place literally where you could sleep easy. It was protected by sheer rock faces and had easily defendable access routes. A place where you could sleep easy. But in a never to be forgotten and like a thief in the night moment, a daring attack by the Persian king Cyrus, 500 years previous to when this was written, had seen the city conquered. They had been surprised. What if Jesus comes just like that? What might he say? What might we say if he came to us? What might I say if he comes to me at 12 o'clock today? What if he came to you in person, face to face at 1:33? This afternoon, what would you say? Would you be a bit fearful? What if Jesus came right now to us? Well, here's the wake-up call. Because in a sense, he has come right now, hasn't he? This is his church. We're looking at his word through which he speaks by his spirit who is dwelling in us as his people. He's here. And what is it that he wants? Does he want us all jumping to attention? Oh, fearfully and coweringly and cringingly? Does he want the worst for us? Does he want what is worst for you and for me? Individually, does he want what is worst for us as a church? Absolutely not. He doesn't. He's the God of grace. We are his church. He promised to build. He tells us clearly what he wants for us here so that we will want it too Verse 4, walking with Jesus. Some inside us are doing that. But then verse 5, here's what he really wants. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. That is eternal security in the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what he wants for us. And to know that, and to revel in that, and to hold that out where we are. This is what a living relationship with Jesus as his church is all about. This is how we can sleep easy, if I can put it that way. Whatever else is going on, this is what Jesus wakes us up to. Our names, your name and mine, young or older, in Jesus' book of life. Furthermore, this is what we want for this community we live within, Kingston, Kingborough, and beyond. The works inside us are unfinished. These are the works Jesus wants his church to complete in this world. And through it, Jesus is waking this work. He's waking people up to new life among us here. He is doing that. Now, let me say that again. Jesus is waking people up to new eternal life among us here in this church. Did you know that? Well, we're going to be hearing about it. More stories of salvation. We've had some lovely ones recently. More stories of salvation are coming. Can I say that again? More stories of salvation are coming. Jesus is saving people. Amen. Let's have more baptisms, opportunities to celebrate his work among us. He cares for his church. He cares for the glory of his name. He gives hope to the hopeless. It's thrilling, isn't it, when Jesus is at work saving people. It's even more thrilling when we're awake to see it and to acknowledge it, isn't it? Let's make sure we are. Do we need then, as Kingston Christian Reformed Church, do we need, as we look at this message to Sardis, do we need to wake up? He cares enough for us to warn us. I think one thing we're pretty good at caring about is our own reputations. Yeah? Personally? Let's make sure we remember, as a church, that it's our reputation with Jesus that is the only reputation that matters. All of us are part of that, and we act accordingly. It's not just a message here for some church somewhere else. This is a message for us. And delightfully, Jesus helps us to help us know whether it's us in view to respond. He says, have you got ears? Hands up if you've got ears. Well, use them. That's what he says. He says that, doesn't he? We've got ears. Let's hear what the Spirit says to Kingston Christian Reformed Church. May we remember the gospel. May we repent. May we repent, actually turn and act towards Jesus, away from sin, towards him, and strengthen what remains. Allow Jesus to blow on us, his Spirit, to fan us back into flame. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you love us so much. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your undeserved love, grace towards us. Not that we should just avoid some terrible future that we are barreling head on for, but rather that you take us to yourself to be with you forever. What wonderful grace, what wonderful mercy. You put our names in your book of life. And I pray, and we can have confidence in this, that you never blot them out. Lord, I pray that every name here
will be in that book, is in that book, and many more besides. Thank you for your wake-up call. May we respond, because we have ears. Amen.
Wake up.